The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Really had no idea that God would ever use me for anything significant. My life was transformed because of having the opportunity to meet James Robison and for him to be willing to mentor me when there was nothing in it for him.
Former Governor Mike Huckabee reflects on the impact James and Betty had in his life. Next on Life Today.
Well, you know, we're celebrating 60 years of marriage. I know she doesn't even look like she's that old. Okay, I understand. But we're fixing to go up some. She says, don't tell anybody. You know, we kind of celebrated. We had a few friends together, and we asked Huckabee. Governor Huckabee wanted to come and thank me for it being his first job. And boy, I tell you what. He gave us a thank you, but he gave the church and the nation a message straight from God. As powerful as you're ever going to hear, and we're going to see it in two parts. The first part, this is Governor Huckabee. By the way, he says he's introduced now as here is Sarah Huckabee's dad. And do you know, most of the people I know who kind of watch what's going on, they think Sarah, his daughter, will be America's first woman president. Well, who would ever thought she'd be governor? Who would ever thought she would ever be a press secretary? Well, his dad didn't. None of us did, but God did. But Mike Huckabee, I've said it many times, and I know you agree and everybody I talk mm-hmm. to agrees, I think he's America's greatest statesman right now mm-hmm. for everything that matters for freedom and God. So I want you to listen to he's one of our kids. An honor that he'd name his son and the grandson after me. It stuns me. Here's Mike Huckabee. Here's Sarah's dad. Don't miss this, and don't miss part two. Here's the first part of what Governor Huckabee shared.
It's hard for me to come here and realize that I first went to work for James Robison in 1976. And I was 20 years old. My 21st birthday would not come until August of that year. And something that I just want to share with you is that for reasons that only God could explain, James took me under his wing and he mentored me when there was no reason for him to do it. No reason at all. I was a nobody. And whatever it is he saw in me, he believed that God wanted him to just invest his life in mine. But I want you to know the same fervor with which I've seen him mentor presidents and senators and congressmen and the most important people in our world, I've also watched him do the same thing to kids like me and other people that I saw on our staff, and sometimes just to people who would show up at a crusade. And he would just look at them, and somewhere maybe he saw in them himself when he was a teenager and nobody really thought he would make it. Thank God he met Betty. She certainly has been his avenue of success without a doubt and kept him on the path. As I said, my first career was with James. I was doing communications, radio, and television, and I thought really my long-term career was going to be in Christian broadcasting. Through a weird series of events, I ended up in something I didn't expect to be in. Something a lot of people think was what I set out to be, and that was a pastor. And I really did not think that was in my path. But for 12 years, I served in local churches, and God used that as sort of a graduate school to deepen my spirit, to give me an understanding of people. Because one of the things that I learned was that no one in any community has a better understanding of the social pathologies that exist in our culture like your pastor does. And the reason I say that is because despite those who think, pastors, what do they know? I'll tell you what they know. They know a name and a face to every situation that people are going through. If it's the elderly couple who are having to cut their medicine in half because they don't have enough money to take the full pill, the pastor is the one who knows because he's been in their home. It's the pastor who has been at the ICU bedside at 2 in the morning as a wife gently slips into eternity as her weeping husband stands holding her hand after years and years of togetherness and then letting go and believing that she would be immediately received into the arms of God. He's the person who the 14-year-old girl goes and tells that she's pregnant before she tells her parents or anybody else because she's brokenhearted and scared and has no idea what to do and where to turn. The pastor is the one who takes the box of food to a family whose cupboards are bare. There's nothing in the refrigerator. When people talk about hunger, he understands it because he's been there, he's seen it, and he's helped to try to alleviate it. And so when people would say about a pastor, yeah, he really doesn't understand the real world, I would suggest to you that those who serve in their churches understand the real world like nobody else. So I wondered sometimes, why did God put me in this particular place? And then I realized, because the next chapter of my life was going to be something that, as a child, I once dreamed of, but I didn't think it would actually happen, especially becoming a pastor. I figured that'll end this idea of ever getting into public service, running for office. Because usually, once you've been a pastor, people assume that only two jobs in the world are love Jesus, pastor or missionary, and that's it. And true, when I first announced that I was going to run for office, boy, there were people who were unhappy about that. Woo! I'll never forget, there was a lady that came up to me, and she said, I understand that you have been a Baptist minister. You know, the real sweet spirit type that she was. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, let me ask you something. Are you one of those narrow-minded Baptists who think only the Baptists go to heaven? I said, oh, no, ma'am, I'm more narrow than that because I don't think all the Baptists are going to make it, to be honest with you. I was in the town of Malvern, Arkansas. I'd just been elected lieutenant governor. I was running for re-election, and I was out on the courthouse square. They were having their Brick Fest. Every little town in Arkansas has a festival every year celebrating something about their community. Malvern, Arkansas celebrates the brick. You know you live in a small town when your biggest thing to celebrate is a brick. But they have a brick company in the town, so they celebrate a brick. And they have Brick Fest, and so I was down there at Brick Fest celebrating bricks, praying nobody would throw one at me. That was my major goal that day. So I'm standing out there in the corner, and kind of nice people, and most of them are supportive, and all of a sudden, this lady comes charging up to me. She gets her finger. She starts wagging it in my face. I knew what was coming. She said, I just want you to know this. I, too, am a Baptist. That was my first clue. This was not going to go well. And she said, I just want you to know, I did not vote for you. And I'm not going to vote for you. Sir, I would not vote for you if you were St. Peter. I said, lady, that's fine, because if I were St. Peter, you wouldn't be in my district. Now, I realize some of you think that's rather unkind, but I had already marked her down as undecided and not leaning my way. There were so many people that thought that if I ran for office and got into public service, that it would mean that I abandoned God. Now, how in the world we ever get to the place where we pray God would work in our culture and in our society and even work in our government, but then get angry at the people who feel called and compelled to do those very things is beyond me. I don't know. And it's not that God wants everybody to do it, but I do believe that He leads some of us to be salt and light where things are spoiling and where there's darkness. Because Jesus called us to be salt and light. And when He calls us to be salt, we're not talking about the salt that's on the table that you sprinkle gently over a piece of meat to season it. In the day of Jesus, there was no Yeti cooler, no ice truck, no refrigeration. So if you pulled a fish out of the Sea of Galilee, and as Jesus would be standing there teaching around the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and a fish comes out, well, Jesus would say, oh, you are the salt of the earth. What did he mean? Well, everybody understood that the moment that salt, that fish came out of the water, they started packing it in salt because salt was the preservative. If you pack the fish in salt, it would stop the putrefaction of the fish, the spoilage. And if you didn't put it in the salt, it would immediately begin to spoil, become inedible and useless. And so salt was not just a seasoning. It was the preservative. If something was rotting, you put salt on it. When Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, he wasn't saying, try to get around some folks and sprinkle yourself a little on them. What he basically said, if there's something that's putrefying, stinking, smelling, that is just absolutely rotting to the core, rush to where the rot is and be all that I have called you to be, because you're the only preservative that can keep this culture from completely rotting to the bone. And when Jesus said, you're the light of the world, he was saying, if things are dark and people are stumbling, even a little bit of light will make a transformative difference. If it's a well-lit room, you don't need a lot of extra light. I'm afraid that sadly, a lot of believers believe that it is so important that they behave well in church. And they even sing the little song we all grew up with, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And we think that we need to shine it in the church. It's the easiest place in the world to let the little light shine because it's already shining all over the place. Question is, are you willing to march into the darkest places on earth and be the light? Because that's where we need it. That's where people are stumbling. Folks, we're living in a culture, it's easy for us to curse the darkness, but what God has called us to do is to light the candle. He has not called us simply to observe how bad things are. He has called us to bring the blood of Jesus Christ to the world and proclaim him and his word, and to say to people, if your life is rotting, if it's putrefying, if it's spoiling to the place you can't even live with it anymore, you need the salt. And if things around you are dark and confusing and it's chaos, let us introduce you to the light. I'm not a great musician, but I've been playing music since I was 11 years old. Now, I started out at age 8. I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. It was a turn-on for me. I wanted to be the fifth Beatle really badly. That never happened. I started begging for a guitar when I was 8 years old. My parents said, we can't afford it. Truth is, they couldn't, but I didn't know that. Nor did I care. I knew I wanted a guitar. So at Christmas, I asked for one. They told me they couldn't afford it. What else did I want? I got the what else. Next year, 9 years old. What do you want? I want a guitar. Well, we can't afford it. What else you want? I told them a what else. I got the what else. Age 10, same thing. What do you want? Guitar. Well, we can't afford it. What else you want? I got a what else. Next year, I was 11. A little wiser, a little older. What do you want? Guitar. We can't afford it. What else you want? I don't want nothing else. I want a guitar. I was an adult when I found out I almost got the nothing. But my parents ordered from the JCPenney catalog an electric guitar, had the little amplifier and all with it, $99. And it took them one solid year to pay for it, a little bit every month for a year. And finally, at age 11, I got that guitar. And I played that thing till my fingers pretty much would bleed from just playing it. You know, sadly, I never got that great at it. I get to play it on my television show with artists that I never thought I would meet. And I mean, it's been cool. I've played with Dionne Warwick and Grand Funk Railroad, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Toby Keith, Willie Nelson, the late George Jones, all kinds of people. And some of you would say, wow, I've seen you play with some of those folks. I didn't know we were that good. My answer is always an honest one. I'm not that good, but it's my show. By gosh, I get to play. But here's what I can tell you, and this is true whether you're a virtuoso musician or just a garage band wannabe. Before you can play the tune, you first have to do something that is prerequisite to ever playing a song. And it's simple. Tune the instrument. Because if you're playing out of tune, you may be a great musician, but it will sound like a train wreck, not like a piece of music. For the simple reason that you have failed to tune the instrument to something that is constant and never changing. Because when you tune your instrument, you don't tune it to what you think. You don't tune it to what you feel. You don't tune it to what you believe. I've spoken with a lot of college campuses, all but one of the Ivy League schools. Every time I've gone, those students get loaded for bear. They're going to tell me a thing or two. One of the things I always find interesting is how many times when they get up, the first thing they say is, I just want to share my truth. Well, that offends me as a musician for the simple reason that none of us get to tune our lives to what we think, feel, or believe. Just like we don't get to tune our instruments in the music world to what we think, feel, or believe. We tune it to something that never changes. And if you strike a C chord and you tune, it doesn't matter whether you're in Minnesota or Mississippi. It is exactly the same sound. And the reason is because if you have something that isn't rigid that you can tune to, it will be a disaster, utter chaos. Do you know what God wants us to do in this world? He wants us, the believers, to be the tuning fork, the tuner, unapologetically saying to the world, yeah, you can tune your life to what you think or what you feel or what you believe, but there's only one standard by which this world needs and must be tuned. It is the Word of the living God, the infallible, inerrant, holy, inspired Word. That's what we tune to.
We could cut in the biggest crowd in any stadium exploding because that's what we ought to do. On the stream, a website, you're going to hear that message all the way through. You're going to hear the second half of it. Here is the tuning fork, the Word of God. I believe that Governor Huckabee delivers in that second half, the climactic moment, that every member of the church needs to hear, and everyone on the planet and in America that cares anything about freedom and really faith, family, and freedom. You've got to hear it, heed it, and act on it. Betty, are we grateful for what God put in Mike?
Absolutely. You know, and I love what he says, that we can't depend on what we feel. We can't trust that. Because there's been times when I felt like God is so far away. And yet I'll hear a little voice in my heart say, I'm right here. I'm right here. Don't leave me.
I want you to listen to our missions director. On the border of one of the biggest nations on the planet and a smaller one, where they are capturing people on that border and making them sex slaves. And we can set them free, but only with your help. And we've got some supporters that so believe in this. And now it's in our country and we're expanding here. We can rescue someone being sexually trafficked for $128, but it's being offered right now, a matching gift, so that you rescue two with that gift. If you would try to rescue 10, it would become 20. Please listen to our mission director on the border where we are rescuing those who are about to be trafficked, taken captive, or getting them free. Please listen.
So as I'm here and I just walk the last 23 steps between these two countries that a child would take before they stepped off the cliff into a literal hell. I'm so mindful right now of the trickery of the devil and how deceitful he is and how much he lies to people to lure them into his pit. And friends, I can promise you, right across that border is the pit that young people never come home from. For children who have been lured, who've been made promises that they're gonna have a better life, that they're gonna get a job, that someone's gonna marry them, that someone's gonna love them, and they're all lies. Standing here, I realize how grateful I am that we have partners on both sides of this border to help prevent and to help rescue and to help restore children's lives. But the fact is, without your help, we can't keep those workers here. So we need you, and we need you right now. Your gift right now is the difference between someone who is rescued, someone who is prevented from being trafficked, or someone who is literally stepping off the cliff of no return.
We are right now, all over the world, rescuing, reaching out, but then we begin to train them. All of this is made possible by the support of people like you. We rescue one child for $128. That's the cost. That includes reaching out to them, oftentimes stopping the kidnapping and taking them. Oftentimes it is reaching into where they are and getting them out. So we rescue them, but then we put them into a home, which we built some of the largest, and I'm told the largest in the world, in the sex capital of the world, and you're the ones that pay for all of it. And I mean, it's $128 to rescue one, but now some of our viewers have given a $320,000 pledge. This is the only outreach that we do where those people, mm-hmm. that group says, we'll do it again. We didn't think you'd even watch this. There's too much, it looks like it's talking about sex. Well, it is. Freeing people from sexual bondage. And we want to see people who are in the bondage that sends them to do that. We want God to set them free. So that's what we're about. With this $320,000, now think about this. $128 doesn't rescue one, that rescues two. And we tell you that $1,280 will rescue 10, now it's 20. I don't know what level you can support at, but please, God, let people who know when they watch Life Today, we're not only try to invest in your life, because that's really the reason we're here, to speak God's truth and love into your life and your family. But you showed us that you want to do what Jesus said we could do. And we are touching the least of these. And he says, when you do that, you're ministering to me. You're giving him a cup of water. All the things that we do for the least of these, Jesus says, blesses him. Betty, I believe our viewers are going to perhaps make the greatest gift right now than they've ever made in their life, to see it double, to help rescue these precious girls.
I do too. And I pray that you will. As you look at these precious children, and that's what they are, most of them, children that are just looking for hope in life. They're looking for a better life, and they get trapped in this, and then they get captured, and they can't get out of it, and their little lives are just destroyed. So please join with us. Let's save everyone that we can.
If you could give the 128, or whatever you give, it'll be double. Lord, help people to give the 1280 that will reach not 10, but 20. Help everybody reach out. Please do it. We're going to send you a beautiful 31-day devotional book. This has 31 devotions based around the Word of God and all that it means. But it is a place also where you can rejoice in the Lord and just apply what you just read that day. And then we're going to send you the Gospels, in the study of each Gospel in the King James Version. But on the next page is a place for you to take notes about that chapter. It's so beautiful. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you're going to enjoy this. And then you know what I think about these beautiful cardinals, because our beautiful daughter that's in heaven with four grandchildren here, she's only seen from heaven, this was her favorite. Okay, she was a St. Louis Cardinal fan too, but she thought the Cardinals were so beautiful. And everybody tells us they love this bronze. If you can make a gift of $1,280, we'll gladly send that to you along with the other material. thank you for helping us put God's arms of love around the overlooked. Go online right now, call that number, get your bank card, use it like a check. Make the best gift you can and let God lead in the giving. Please do it right now, please.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be double to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Declare. This beautifully designed 31-day devotional reveals 31 names of God from Scripture and gives insight to the character, grace, and depth of God's love for you. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Gospels book set. This special edition collection of the four Gospels in the classic King James Version includes journaling space opposite each page of Scripture so you can reflect as you read, the perfect companion for your daily time with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Please help us rescue these precious children. They're crying out for help. Please help us.
And for all of you who did, we've got the gifts we want to send you. But you just gave, with your gift, the greatest gift, life and freedom. Thank you, God. Thank you. If you get a busy, you keep calling till you get through. And let's set some more captives free. Thank you. Don't miss Governor Huckabee's second part of this message. Do not miss it in the next program. Don't miss it. Tell everyone to watch.
We don't have to wonder, how is it going to turn out, folks? It has already turned out.
Encouragement for the spiritual battle ahead, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.